The truth is, Prime Minister Tony Abbott and this benighted attempt at a government are a temporary phenomenon. This too will pass, and we need to keep our eyes on the bigger picture. Just as the reign of the dinosaurs was cut short to their great surprise, it may be that the Abbott government will appear as nothing more than a thin, greasy layer in the core sample of future political scientists drilling back into the early years of the 21st century.
That is an excerpt from a speech delivered by West Australian Greens Senator Scott Ludlam late last Monday evening to an almost empty Senate chamber. Not a big audience in the room, but the speech has been an online, a social media sensation, nudging 500,000 views on YouTube. It's certainly an example of, well, the sort of tool that the internet can be for a minor party politician. But does that translate into participation or getting the message across? Does it translate into votes? Senator Ludlam is, of course, about to recontest in the re-polling for the West Australian Senate. He joins you now.
Yes, and it wasn't in the strategic plan. It caught us as much by surprise as anybody else.
Well, tell us what the plan was around this speech.
There was no plan around the speech. It was something that I figured on the flight over might be my last opportunity to speak in Parliament before Election Day. And to be honest, as you and many others have observed, at 10 o'clock at night, the chamber's mostly empty. All the main business of the day has been done. Nobody's paying much attention. It was really something from the heart that I wrote to get off my chest how I was feeling about where the government is trying to take the country. And, you know, we were actually really chuffed the next night when it went through 1,000 views. I was delighted. And so there wasn't a great deal of strategic planning behind it.
1,000 views, of course, was only the beginning.
As it turned out. And that's great. It surprised and delighted me, I suppose, that I guess it means I've said what other people must be feeling.
Let's get to some of the content in a sec, but I this is a really interesting thing in modern politics that, we have the conventional media, we know all about that, but we also have social media and its extraordinary capacity to reach out to a lot of people. It's a bit underexplored in politics, really, isn't it?
It is. I think a lot of people are still feeling their way that if you try and use the internet as a broadcast medium, then you're using the least interesting elements of it. The fact is it's a conversation, and I can say stuff or we can put a video out there, and within minutes it can have been turned around and shot back at you, or other people are having their own views and passing it on. And the very essence of it is a bit out of control, and that's what makes it so interesting.
But that's what also makes it, I think, a difficult thing for conventional politics to deal with, that it is out of control. You're placing your message out there in a way that can run off any which way.
It's true. And the older political parties, I remember quite vividly during the state election here in WA last year, the Liberal candidates were effectively told by the leadership team to stay the hell off the internet because you can't control your message there. And, you know, that's a choice that a political campaign can make, but I think you're missing out. I think it'll become effectively less and less possible to do that, because people, having realised you can have direct access to a candidate or an MP, are taking advantage of that. It's very interesting.
And perhaps actually want that too. I mean, want people to approach them in that space.
We would hope so. The sense that I'm getting is that people are pretty sick, irrespective of your political affiliations, of being preached a diet of slogans and platitudes that are designed to score well on the evening news and then be immediately forgotten. If we're seeing the beginning of the disintegration of that, then I can think that must only be a good thing.
Who was, when you gave the speech, you're there pretty much on your own in the chamber. There was the president there, and I'm not sure there would have been, one or two people on the other side of the house?
At that time of night, you'll get a president and you'll get a couple of duty senators from the major parties, and that's all. And people have expressed shock and alarm that that's the case, but that's normal for that time of night. And frankly, I don't want to have to sit and listen to Erica Betts at that time of night either. So it's not a problem if the place is empty. It means, you don't always want it to be as full or as rowdy as question time.
Well, indeed, one of the interesting things about your speech is in the delivery, you were allowed through all those absences, through the lack of interjection and so forth, to give it at your pace and to deliver it exactly as you wanted to.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, often the place can be pretty rowdy. It's nowhere near as bad as the House of Representatives. I mean, things get routinely totally unhinged in there. I think it's incredibly undignified. The Senate has a reputation for being a bit more cordial, but...
Even so.
You know, even so, indeed. And at that time of night, you know, a lot of people have gone home, so you do get a bit of clear air.
Did you imagine your audience to be the eventual audience you found, to be the social media audience when you were giving that speech?
Effectively, yes, because the unless you're sitting up at 10 o'clock at night on a Monday with nothing better to do than listen to the Australian Senate, then you're going to miss it. So I figure the audience, the most important audience is always outside the building. And that's probably true for any parliamentary debate, any MP from any party. We sometimes imagine that you're trapped in this bubble which has its own dynamics that are rather, you know, look rather degrading from the outside. But your audience should always be people on the outside of the bubble.
Amazing what you say, Scott Ludham, about the normal presentation of politics is through the quick grab, the soundbite. And here we have a thing which goes for minutes and minutes, which is constructed, which is full, and which is consumed in that way. There seems to be an appetite for that sort of greater length of politics, for the full expression.
Possibly. I feel I don't want to be out there generalising or proclaiming what the lessons learned are. I think It runs to about 7.5 minutes or so. So I don't know that we want to... It is long form for the internet. I don't think we can proclaim it's the end of the short attention span. But if people watch all the way through to the end, then but I guess that's a good thing.
Nor is that success, I guess, a guarantee of political success. I mean, the Julia Gillard misogyny speech, for example, is a thing which has done extraordinary traffic in social media. But look at who's now Minister for Women's Affairs.
Yes, I've seen that. You got that off Twitter, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I thieved that.
it's absolutely spot on. And, you know, whether you're converting a click on Facebook or a YouTube view into a vote is very much up in the air. And, you know, I'm fortunate in that I've only got, what have I got now, 29 days to wait and find out. But I still don't think you would want to rule out the fact, given the kind of feedback that we're getting, it's translated into donations for us. It's translated into the phone at our party office melting down with people wanting to know how they can help. And it has migrated to an extent into the mainstream media. So I think the age in which mainstream politicians are going to be able to shrug and say, yeah, but it's only happening on the internet, maybe we're seeing the end of that.
There's a certain kind of thing which works well, though, on the internet, isn't it? And it's the sort of thing you did, which is a bit of a rant, clearly from the heart. It's that sort of content that has that sort of sense of total honesty about it that seems to catch people's imagination.
I think it's one of the least ranty things I've ever done. You should see me when I'm really ranting.
Tony Abbott's a racist and a homophobe. That's not a bit ranty?
Look, you can call it as you see it. I think the views that are expressed and that are being cemented into formal policy by this Commonwealth government are deeply exploitative of racism. It's not even dog whistling anymore. It's being done with a full brass band, you know, ensemble. It's plucking at people's fears of the other. And people, I think, most stridently expressed in the way that the refugee debate is being conducted is that it is deliberately provoking racism and fear of the other. And what's most tragic for me is that these people have made Australia. Immigration has made this country, and the people who are being vilified and demonised and now murdered are fleeing some of the worst regimes in the world. So I've no patience for it at all. My prediction is that there's going to be attack pieces in The Australian calling me out on the racism and the homophobia stuff, and, you know, whatever. It wasn't a speech that was conducted by a focus group, but it's how I feel. And, you know, if that hurts the feeling of the Prime Minister or some of those in the Murdoch press, then I guess I'll just have to wear it.
Is it fair to turn those feelings to personal attack? Is it fair to characterise policy as the personal attributes of the leader?
Well, when you see Prime Minister or the leadership team, Mr Morrison, fronting press conferences, they're advocating for a particular policy. And I acknowledge that those undercurrents run very deep, and they run back into the last Parliament and the one before that. But you have to be responsible for the policies that you bring to bear. The Prime Minister came to Perth during the election campaign last year and stood in front of a billboard with a number of illegal boats on it. That was his campaign stopover. He climbed onto a plane and went back to Sydney. So they have to take some kind of responsibility for the dog whistling that's going on. And I can think of no better word to encapsulate it, unfortunately, than racism.
How will you use this internet profile from this point? Will you attempt to make this sort of a cornerstone in your campaign?
No, not really. Like I say, we certainly didn't expect it. We've laid out the architecture of the next 4 weeks. We've laid out a schedule of a campaign that is not about Tony Abbott at all. It's about the Australian Greens and it's about the West Australian community. I would much rather be talking about jobs in the renewable energy industry. I'd rather be talking about housing affordability and Aboriginal kids locked up in adult prisons. So that's what the campaign's going to be about. If that gets picked up on social media, then that's fantastic.
Is it a mistake then to make this beginning foray so much about Tony Abbott and the Liberal government?
Well, no, I wouldn't call it a mistake. It appears to have really touched nerves, and it appears to, I don't know, maybe be reflective of something that people wanted said, and they're glad that it's been said.
Senator Scott Ludlam from Western Australia, an extraordinary speech last week that's gone off on social media. You can find it on YouTube if you've missed it. South Australia and Tasmania go to the polls. That's next. News time on RN. It's 9 o'clock.